Well, I have I think a wonderful message to share this morning. Wonderful in the sense that it's a truth from the Word of God that is powerful. It has the power within it to transform your life in a way of, you know, now that you are a child of God, assuming that you are a child of God. This is a key I'm going to get into that unlocks some of the power that's on the inside of us and getting it on the outside of us so that we actually walk in it. It's just going to be another one of those beautiful keys that unlocks some of the power that dwells within us. So in one aspect of it, as you look at it, it can seem very simple, a little oversimplified, like I don't know that that's really, I mean, we, you know, like you're going to see it as if you understand it already. Well, I've known about that. I want to encourage you to listen carefully. Listen as if it is actually the Word of God. If need be, pretend that it's not Brad Ator that's up here, but that it's Jesus himself. And then how intently would you listen to what he has to say? And so even if it was something simple coming from Jesus, you'd say, well, that's Jesus talking.
I'll take it to the bank.
Yes, those are words I can take to the bank. I want to encourage you to do that. Not for me, I mean, hope, I'm sure you understand that. I'm for you, so that you get it. This is just, it's good stuff. So I want to. I think you remember last week I had a message that I put off in order to bring another one, basically because of a lack of time. So I ended up bringing another message, and I said I would bring that message I had prepared today. Well, I'm putting it off for yet another week, because today's message will be apropos for this particular season. Thanksgiving is on Thursday, and it came to me actually by someone saying something to me yesterday about Thanksgiving, and they suggested maybe I should bring a message about Thanksgiving. And when they said it, I knew it wasn't just a good idea from a person. I knew that the Lord was speaking to me because of what happened on the inside of me when they said it. And I said, why did you wait till Saturday to say this to me? Couldn't you have said this on like Tuesday or Wednesday? And they're like, why? I said, because I know it's the Lord. Now I have to do that. Now I have like hours to put this together, and I've spent the entire week putting another message together. So there we go. Okay. Could we have a battery ready? Excuse me. Just in case, when we begin, I'm just going to stay with it. Yeah, maybe it was loose. I think we're good. We've got power. We'll keep it all up here. I'll just be ready to go. Thank you very much. I don't remember where I was. Have you ever noticed every time I get up here, I need to blow my nose?
I do now.
Now that I've pointed it out. Wow. Okay. All right. So anyhow, I was up till 2 in the morning putting this together. Lovely. Yes. And I wrote my friend an email at 2 in the morning. I'm still up. Thank you very much for sharing what the Lord had for you a week ago on Saturday. No. It was. I was exercising Thanksgiving. I said, thank you. Okay, so let me do this. I'd like to open this with a short story. It was the day before Thanksgiving. An elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, and so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "Like heck they're getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" The man hung up his phone and turned to his wife. "Okay, honey, the kids will be here for Thanksgiving and they're paying for their flights." Wisdom, it comes with age. So on Thursday, we're all going to be, hopefully, all of us will be spending time with family and or friends. And although this has the potential to be a wonderful thing, how many of you know that it also has the potential to be something less than that, less than wonderful? We have a lot of history with one another when we get together with our family and our friends, and as a result, there are trigger points that can be easily hit with just one comment because they know us all too well. And what I would like to do, what I'd like to accomplish today, is to talk to us about how to be different than that. Because we're called to this. We're called to be different. And not just as a matter of willpower or a matter of, putting on a facade or putting on a face. We really are different. And so really what we are attempting to do is to no longer be hypocritical by acting what we're not. Right? What is a hypocrite? Someone who
says one thing and does another.
Yes. That would definitely be a hypocrite. When you're not being consistent with who you are or what you've said, it's pretending to be something that you're not. And most of us, without even realizing it, we think, well, if I put on a happy face, if I act joyful, I'm being hypocritical because that's not really how I feel. The reality is, when you are not acting happy and you're not showing forth thankfulness and joyfulness, that's truly being hypocritical because you're not being true to who you really are. You are literally squelching, hiding. You are covering up a work that the Lord has done in you. You're taking the Lord's work, I'm taking the Lord's work, and I'm pretending that's not really what's on the inside of me. I'm really not full of joy. I'm going to act different than that. I'm going to act like I'm not full of joy. I hope that's making sense to you. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it goes on. Well, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, right, then you are love, you are joy, you are peace, you are long-suffering, you are et cetera, et cetera. So when we're not acting that, we are really being inconsistent or hypocritical to a reality that dwells on the inside of us. I talked a few weeks back about this box that I want to build to help demonstrate this idea of spirit, soul, and body. Do you remember me describing that box and with two panels and with holes and if I moved them, and, Well, Lonnie, the very next day, built that box for me. And I mean to the T. He already showed it to me. It's exactly what I wanted to build. It's incredible. So I have that tucked away as a beautiful thing that I'm going to bring out someday with the teaching I'm going to do. So I could use it right now. But it's true that what's on the inside of us needs to get on the outside of us so that people can see it. So what I want to talk to you about today is a key to make that happen. And this may seem like positive thinking, and you know, to a degree it is, but it's way, way, way beyond that. So I want to talk to you about a key that unlocks a door. That's what a key does, right? It unlocks a door. And that key is a grateful or a thankful heart. The title of my message today is The Power of Being Thankful. It may seem like I'm going to jump around a little bit because I'm going to talk about thankfulness, and then I'm going to be talking about happiness, and I'm going to talk about joy. But just know they are so closely related that sometimes it's hard to see the difference between them. I understand clearly the difference between them. But what I want to tell you, and I'm going to show you by Scripture, is that they are powerfully linked. One triggers the other. And so the key, let me just say this. We talk about happiness a lot, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard the difference between happiness and joy. But happiness is, I don't really necessarily totally agree with this because, in my opinion, there's two kinds of happiness we could talk about. One is not true happiness. True happiness would have a different definition. But what we often call happiness is really dependent on circumstances, right? That which is going on around us. If good things are happening to me, I'm happy. If bad things are happening, if I just get that one phone call, it's not good news, I'm not happy anymore. So happiness is fleeting. And if we really believe that that's what happiness is, that happiness is dependent on our current circumstances, then happiness is going to be like that wet, slippery bar of soap or that greased pig, and it will forever elude us. Today we're happy, tomorrow we're not. I would like to encourage you with this truth that it does not need to be that way. Jesus tells us that in the world you will have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he's not denying, the Word of God does not deny that we will have difficult times in life. But what the Word does say is that you can walk in joy right in the midst of it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How is that so? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How's that possible? And on I could go. The Scriptures are very clear that we have the ability, the capacity to walk in joy at all times in any situation. Now, you may say that's a little bit overstated. I mean, surely you're not saying in all situations. What about, you know, the death of a loved one? What if I just received news of terminal illness? What if I have a devastating heartbreak through a divorce or a breakup? What if I just learned that my child was given a life sentence in prison? Are you saying that I can be joyful in the midst of that situation? And my answer to that is absolutely. Yes. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, he says, in the presence of mine enemies. And then he goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a joy that is above the natural circumstances of this life that we can grab hold of and hold on to, and it will hold us. If we take hold of it, it will hold us, and it will take us through life in joy. It doesn't mean that you don't have a moment of distress or sorrow or grief. Sure, we'll get hit with some bad news, and we are going to take a hit from it emotionally. But it's like, if we truly have joy and we understand how to tap into joy, it is like pushing a person underwater who has a life jacket on. They can only go down so far. And you will only be able to hold them down so far. They will pop back up. That life jacket is the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
It's our strength. Amen. And we have this joy resident on the inside of us. If we've accepted Christ, that joy is within us. So again, all of that to say, what I want to talk to you about today is the key to that joy. And the key to that joy is a thankful heart. Now that may seem like really simple. Like, come on, it's a little overstated. I mean, thankfulness isn't sufficient. There's got to be more to it than that. I'm telling you, it's not. That's it. The key to joy is a thankful heart. It is literally the door. I could use some volunteers right now, but I think I need a lot of them, and unfortunately that would take up like about half the congregation right now. But so I'm going to go ahead and do it, but I don't want, when you come up here, I want you to be paying attention too, because I need seven of you. If I have seven of you up here, you cannot not be listening. I want you to pay attention to this as well. And since I can tell you really don't want to come up here, Kate, I'd like you to come up here. No. All right, good. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Good, boom. Four, five, six, seven. All right, Kate, I need you down here.
I'm digging this sermon, so I'm fine coming up here.
Okay, all right, good, good, good. That's great. And then I only need one more of you over here, so two of you need to go to this side. Very good. And why don't we scoot down so we can get the whole row in here. All right. Now, this is thankfulness. No, you come over here. Sorry. You're going to be thankful.
Okay.
Yes. You get to be the opposite of thankful. You just seem sweeter, so we'll make you thankful.
Thank you.
And you're a grumbling murmur. All right, so you need to be thankful.
Woo!
When I look to you. Okay.
All right,
and you need to be like, nasty, unforgiving murmurer. All right?
Prayer after this.
Yeah. You are trouble. All right?
That fits.
You are joy. And you are hope. And you are faith. And you are grace. Now, this is really how it works. I mean, I could lay out 100 scriptures for this, literally, and you would see it. You'd be like, I could show you this scripture. Wow, that's exactly how it works. I could show you another set of scriptures. Wow, that's exactly what it says. But oftentimes what happens, it'll say, thankfulness is the key to faith. And then other scriptures will tell you that thankfulness is the door to joy. Others will say that joy is the access to faith, or joy is the access to grace. And it takes putting all these scriptures together, and you realize, oh, I'm seeing how it works. The reason thankfulness is the door to faith is because thankfulness opens the door to joy. Joy brings me into hope. Hope is, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And faith is the economy of God that reaches out and receives grace into our life. So if I'm here, and if I want to have grace, the grace of God in my life, the The first step into that is thankfulness. If I turn this way to murmuring, this is why God is so opposed to murmuring. And if I agree with murmuring, I get into
trouble.
This is what it does. It brings nothing but trouble in my life. And then I find myself murmuring, agreeing even more because I have so much in my life. And I think, man, what is this, you know? And then I see these other people. They're always just so happy. Yeah. And they have got joy, and they always have faith, and they have just grace, seems like the grace of God flowing in their life. And you think, what is it with them? This is the key to joy and to hope and to faith and the grace. This is the key right here. Thankfulness. Look more, a little bit more at me and be like, thankful. And then when I agree,
it's so sunny outside.
I know.
That's so good.
It is. He is.
Oh, I love my marriage.
You do. Woo. And when I agree, if she's facing me, when I agree with her, it opens the door for me to enter into joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, hook arms, each one of you. I want you to hook arms because this is literally how it works. They are intrinsically linked together. They're really inseparable. And so is a disgruntled heart in trouble, murmuring in trouble. They are linked together. They're like cousins. You can't separate them. They're inseparable. So in the midst of a situation when I have an opportunity brought to me, I don't know how I should do this, but if, I don't know if I should just, well, okay, I'll just say it. I was going to have someone do it, but we don't probably need that. If someone said to me, you know, you're in that family setting and you do something and they make that comment. Okay, I'm going to get real practical here, all right? I'm going to try and bring this down to day-to-day stuff. Because otherwise, it doesn't do us any good. I'm trying to make it so you really get this and you can use it. So you're at the table, you're with all your family, and you say something or you do something, and then that particular someone says, you always do that. Oh. You know? And that's all they have to say. You know, you've got enough history. About 2,700 things are tied to that comment. Brrr, goes all the way back and here comes the fire, right? You can fire it. Now, here's the situation. Oh, you know, you always do that. You know, they make that little comment. Now listen, I have a choice. You're doing that well. I have a choice. I can go this way or I can go this way. I'm choosing. We think it chooses us. That's a lie. That's a circumstance, right? That's what that is. It's a circumstance. Circumstances don't dictate to me whether I have joy or whether I have trouble, whether I have the grace of God flowing in my life or I have trouble. That's not what dictates. I'm the only one who determines this. I'm it. It falls on me. God has put within me all that I need to make the right choice. And then he says, I set before you life and death. And then he gives me the answer to the test. Choose life. Choose life. But it is up to me. So this person says to me, you always do that. Or maybe it's even more abrupt than that. Maybe someone writes a letter about you and lays you to waste and sends it to all your friends. Something pretty heavy. I mean, maybe someone just lays you to waste. You know, I have a choice. That's a circumstance. I consider it an opportunity. Now, I have an opportunity. An opportunity, why? Why is it that? This is an opportunity to shine, to show forth Christ-likeness in my heart and to receive great grace, because where sin doth abound, grace much more. Now, it's up to me whether I get, if I'm going to receive that grace or not. And the channel to grace is first a thankful heart. That's where it starts. Or I can turn to murmuring and I turn my back on grace. It says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You know that no good for nothing, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I know he is.
Can you believe it?
No, I really can't. Oh, well, I can't because he does it all the time.
I would never do that.
I know. I wouldn't either.
Oh, my goodness.
What a slime ball. This is, now I could do that. Now, one of the ways I would do that, right, is I fire back at this person. What's that supposed to mean? Right? Now I just entered right into the trap of the enemy, which is going to take me into trouble. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, except that which imparts grace to the hearer. Right? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's where that comes from. That's where that line is. People will give it all kinds of reasons how we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the only time that's listed in all the Bible. And it talks about we say something that is not filled with grace. Anything coming out of our mouth that is not filled with grace grieves the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Spirit of God on the inside of me is always facing this way. Always. So it's almost like a split personality. It's that hypocrisy I was talking about. If I turn this way, if I was able to do it physically, a part of me is still going that way. I still have part of me. Why don't you come up here real quick? This is the other half of me. So you face that way, back to back. Okay, he's the Holy Spirit in me. He's always facing that way. What the Bible is encouraging me to do is to get in agreement with the real me and go this way. When I turn this way, I am operating out of the flesh, not the Spirit. The Spirit will never go with me this way. And now I'm grieving him because he wants to go that way. And I'm saying, no, I need to fire back at this person. That's not right what they did, right? I'm not in agreement with him anymore. And I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit when I go this way. All right, you can sit down. The rest of you can still have to stay here. So it is up to me which way I'm going to go. Now, that person says something to me. You go, okay, so what do you say to that? What if they say, you know, you're an idiot? What if it's that just blunt right in your face? You're an idiot. You know, people will do that, right? I don't know if you know that. People will actually be that ugly. You're an idiot. I had someone say something to me about a year ago that was like one of those deals that it was so outrageous that, I mean, I can't even explain. I was literally dumbfounded of how insulting it was. It was like, wow. I mean, dumbfounding. And I thought about it for a second and I just said, well, you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but something to the effect of, you know, I can appreciate that you have that opinion. Everyone's got one, you know. I was trying to be nice. I just kind of let it go because I really didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to respond to it. You know, and I knew what I was not going to do. I was not going to fire back at this person. But I was just like, so it was so awkward. I wasn't even sure, like, what do you even say? You know, someone says, you're an idiot. Like, thanks. I mean, you know, what do you say? So I was just an awkward place. I just said, well, you know, I can appreciate the fact that, you know, you have that opinion. I really meant it. Like, I appreciate the fact that you have a right to your opinions just like I have a right to mine. You've got it. I'm just appreciating that fact. That's what I was saying. I appreciate the fact you have an opinion. That's right. But, you know, the next couple of days, it was working on me. And I had a choice to make, and I made that choice about 1,742,000 times for the next 24 hours. You know, it was just like a battle going on in my mind. Like, wow, really, you know. But anyhow, I just stayed on the side of thanksgiving. I just said, I'm not going there because I understood this from the scriptures. I know this is an offense to the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, giving us an example of the children in Israel, of the things they did, and God says, Paul writes and says, that this was an example for us not to do. One of the things it says in 1 Corinthians 10:10 is, and do not murmur that you be not destroyed by the destroyer, like they were. God so hated the murmuring, he opened up the earth and swallowed them. God hates murmuring. He hates complaining. He hates backbiting. Why? It is the antithesis of who he is. He is thankfulness. He is joy. He is hope. He is faith. And he is grace. This is of his enemy. It came as a result of the Garden of Eden. When sin entered into the world, so did sinful thinking and trouble. It came into the world through the devil. This is literally an attribute of the devil. These two are of the devil. But I love them. No, this is literally, we need to think about it this way. This is of the devil. When I think ugly of my brother or my sister, this is of the devil. And so I have to say to myself, okay, I have a choice to make here. What am I going to do in this situation? So now getting practical, how do I handle this? You're an idiot. Someone says that to me, all right? Well, I can say, you know, in my mind, I cannot believe what you just said to me. What did I do to deserve that? I'll tell you what I did. I did nothing to deserve that. I can't believe, I'm offended that you did that, right? Aren't these the thoughts that kind of immediately race to your mind? Well, let's analyze. Let's slow down and analyze those thoughts that we have, because that's very consistent, typical of what we would think, right? I cannot believe what you said to me. What did I do to deserve that? I'll tell you what I did. I did nothing to deserve that. It's I, me. And therein lies the problem. It's all about me. And as long as me is on the throne, yes, as long as me is on the throne, you and I, our ship is sunk. Right? What the Bible has called us to do is to think more highly, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and to esteem others better than ourselves. It says that we are to love them. Now, how do we do that practically? I mean, where do you find the strength to do that? The strength in being able to do that is being thankful. This is where I find my strength. If I'm thankful, you say, how? What's there to be thankful about being called an idiot? Well, I'm not thankful about being called an idiot. I'm thankful about other things. But I need to stay in a mindset of thankfulness. Here's what I can be thankful about. This person says that to me. I'll tell you, this one alone is sufficient. This is a lesson I learned. I talked about this last week, if you recall, when I said how the Lord said, you're trying to get your affirmation from someone that you can only get from me. That was the day that the Lord opened this up to me. He was saying, Brad, get your affirmation from me. I am your maker, not them. They didn't make you, and I think you're wonderful. Right? So this person says, I'm an idiot. My first thought should be, yes, Lord, I am so glad they're not my God, and that you are, and you think I'm wonderful. He has a picture of me in his wallet and on his refrigerator door. He looks at me every morning and smiles. God's in love with me. Amen. So this person says that to me. I think to myself, now I've done that to other people. And the only time I've ever, when have I done that? The only time I've ever done that is when I was hurting. Something, I was upset. I was off. You know what I was not doing? I was not being thankful in my life, and therefore I had no joy and I had no hope, right? I was, when I attacked someone with my words, it's because I was murmuring and thinking ill thoughts. I was thinking about myself, you know what I mean? And then I acted out and I got in trouble with the Lord. That's the only time I do that. So when someone says something to me, ooh, I think, oh, they're doing that now. They're looking that way in their life. Maybe in that moment, they're upset about something. It may actually be about something I did. It may have nothing to do with me. It may be something their husband or their wife said to them this morning. It may be because they just got fired yesterday. It may be because they are anticipating getting fired tomorrow. It may be because any number of 1,000 things that can go wrong in someone's life. Here's an opportunity for me to shine. This is, if you will, a dark space. In that moment, it's created. It's a moment of darkness that's been created, right? It's from the enemy. They say something, it's from the enemy. It's a moment of darkness, right? I now have more of an opportunity than I had before they made that comment to shine my light. Light becomes brighter in the darkest area. If I turned on a light bulb right now, if I had a light bulb in my hand, there wouldn't be a whole lot that would come off of that. I mean, you'd see it. What if this room was completely dark and then I had a light bulb that was lit in my hand? It would be 100 times more powerful, right? Every time we have a situation that is negative in front of us, we literally have an opportunity for our light to shine brighter than ever before. It's truly an opportunity. One way I like to say this is the soil is rich. When you've got good soil, you get the maximum fruit out of that soil. The harder a situation is that I'm in, the greater fruit I can get out of that situation. The situation is dark, I have an opportunity to shine the light right now. I can really, now I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to try and close this up real soon because I've got to go somewhere. No. I'm going to talk to you about 5 benefits that come from being thankful, but let me just finish out this process of how we do this. Okay, they say you're an idiot. I have 2 paths that I can go. This way, I can go this way. This way is basically saying, what right do you have to say that's about me, right? That's why we get offended. The only reason we get offended, because we have me on our, we have ourselves on our mind. It's all about me. Well, they said that about me, you know, and we feel justified in our anger. Well, the fact of the matter is, God has forgiven me. He's forgiven all of us of all of our sins, right? We've been forgiven such a great debt. God says, I forgave you everything, not one comment, not one action, everything. And now this person has done one little teeny tiny thing to you, and you're just going to unleash on them, right? Does that sound familiar, like a parable out of the Bible? There was a wealthy man who had a servant who, you know, owed him 10,000 denarii. And he came and said, pay all. And he says, I can't. And anyhow, he begs him for mercy. The king forgives him. He goes out and finds someone else who owed him 10,000 talents and 100 denarii. You know what I mean? It's like $100 billion and $5. So this guy owes me $5. He called me an idiot. He owes me $5. I will not forgive him, even though the Lord forgave me of everything. Billions of dollars, but I will not forgive him of this $5 comment he just made to me. That's not of God, right? So here's the other option. How do you get to the other side? I think about things like, you know, God has already forgiven me of everything. I think about something like, Jesus is on the inside of me. Here's an opportunity to shine. I think about the fact they're probably hurting. That's why they just did that. I think about the fact I've just been given an opportunity to help them right now. Probably if they say this to 20 other people or 100 other people, none of them are going to help. Am I going to be like them or am I going to be something different? You know what I mean? Here's an opportunity. I really mean this. This is an opportunity to be a blessing to this person. Really, I want to be a blessing to them. And by being a blessing to them, I get to be a major blessing to my Father. I will please my Father. So I get to think about the fact I've got everything going for me. I have my health. I have whatever. You know, you think about good things. You're thankful. You're grateful. Don't ever leave a grateful mindset. Think about what you have going for you. That's the only you that should be on your mind is what God has done for you. Because if you remain thankful, now this is a trick of the enemy, by the way. Whenever this comes, they're operating in the flesh, and almost without exception, if it's really nasty, there's another thing that helps is to know this. There's someone behind the scenes that's working them. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. Why?
They know not what they do.
They don't know what they're doing. You know what he was saying? There's someone else behind the scene who's using them like a puppet. Right? It's like he puts his hand, he's in the puppet, and he works his mouth, blah, blah, blah. Now this person saying, well, no, this person just said that to me. And God's saying, go past that. Look who's behind this person whispering in their ear, getting them to say that. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. All right, I think you guys can sit down. Thank you, you're awesome. I was going to use each one of you a little bit longer, but get to each one of the points. But I'm really only one to talk about the first step, which gets you to the second. Thankfulness gets you to joy. Just know that the other things are then linked to that, and those are all teachings within themselves. And I can't do them all today, so. So, do you understand what I was trying to say here? When that person says to me, you're an idiot, what is the key to thankfulness? The key to thankfulness is this. It's one word, perspective. That's the key to be able to stay in thankfulness. It's perspective. I'm going to read you something else I thought was pretty cute and does a good job getting this point across. A young woman wrote her mother from college, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it. It really has been broken. I broke it. And my left leg, too, when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get out of the dormitory, to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit, I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, none of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. Which leads me to a saying that I've had, that I've lived by for my entire adult life. And it is not just a saying, but a principle and a truth. I think I got this from Norman Vincent Peale, if I remember right. I don't really remember for sure that it came from him, but I think it's where it came from. But it really is irrelevant. But I read this or saw it somewhere about probably, well, a long time ago. My entire adult life, I've been walking in this because I got this early and it just went right into my soul. Now, I know I'm already kind of building this up and I'm not trying to build it up other than I really want you to grab hold of this. It's simple. And when I say it, you may think, oh, okay, it's simple. No, this is truth. This is a principle, and it's so powerful. I've utilized this tens of thousands of times. It keeps me in a good place constantly. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful places I use this is in relationships. Especially when you're in a dating relationship or you're married, this is so helpful. But anyhow, let me just give you the saying. It's this. It's not what it is, but how you see it. It's not what it is, but how you see it. Now, that's not just wishful thinking. That's not just, that's positive, that's good, but not realistic. No, this is literally a truth. Now, it's not a scripture per se, but I could show you several scriptures that say this exact same thing in different words. It's absolutely truth. And truth, Jesus says, will set you free. And it really will set you free. It's not what it is. It's how you see it. Now, let me show you. Let me give me one way to prove that out. How many of you know that two people can face the same situation and have two entirely different responses to it, right? I could get a phone call that says, hey, your car payment, I have to take my car into a mechanic shop and they call me up and I think it's going to be $100 and they call me up and tell me it's going to be $750. All right? Now, I may get really ticked off, upset, whatever. Maybe I even yell at the person on the phone or whatever. And then maybe Derek has the exact same situation and he's like, wow, that's a bummer. Well, it is what it is. So I need to have the car, so go ahead and fix it. I appreciate you guys', your expertise. I would never be able to fix that, whatever. And just has a great attitude about it, even though he's like, that stinks, $750. But you know what I mean? We can just have two entirely different reactions. I don't know if that's a good analogy. I seem to be real lame on analogies lately, but it's just, or someone can say something to me and I could get upset, just someone saying, just a simple thing, and I can get upset, and the next person doesn't get upset at all. How many times have you been in situations where you're amazed at how well people handle things where you would have gotten fired up? The reason is because it's not what it is. It's how you and I see it. It's nothing more than that. It is a matter of perspective. So when I find myself in a situation where someone says something to me that is upsetting me, I say to myself, Brad, find a different perspective. Here's a great example. I just thought of one. My best friend in life, he lives out in Arizona right now, used to live with me for a few years back. He lived with me for a couple years. And I am like really clean. My house is real organized. I'm like, anal retentive. And so everything's in order. Well, he actually is too, which is the only reason I allowed him to move in. Because he was in the military and he's like super clean about everything. But he just has these little things that are just odd, things that he does. One of them is like every time he goes to toast the toast, I was telling my mom about this the other day, he pulls the toaster out. It's tucked away and you got to get that cord just so behind the toaster so it's all nice and clean, right? He grabs it and pulls it out and toasts the toast. And when he goes to make a cup of coffee, he does the same thing with the coffee pot. He pulls it out and makes it. And then he just leaves it there and he walks away and does the thing, And then I come back and I'm like, I got to mess with the cord again and get it all put back. And I do this every single day and every day. So I say to him, Clay, why do you pull the toaster out? It will toast perfectly fine right where it is. Does it toast better when you pull it out or something? I don't get it. It's not like it's a reach. And he's like, whatever. That's all he says to me, whatever. And this went on, for like a year. Occasionally, I would say it to him every day, but I'd be like, dude, seriously, man, leave the toaster where it is and the coffee pot. Why do you pull those things out, He's like, Brad, whatever, get over yourself, we're like a married couple. And hopefully you're not like that as a married couple. So anyhow, one day I was in my bedroom and I was getting dressed and, just showering, I was getting dressed, I'm getting ready to go downstairs. And I thought, I know one, because he's always up before me. He gets up at like 5 in the morning. So I thought, I know what I'm walking to. I'm going to walk into the kitchen, the toaster's going to be pulled out, the coffee pot's going to be pulled out. And I'm like, don't get ticked off about this. This is ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. It probably sounds really ridiculous to you, but it's just one of those things that was getting under, it's personality types. It was bothering me. If it had any logic to it, I wouldn't care, but there's no logic to it, zero. So I'm just like, leave it alone. So I asked myself a simple question. I thought, okay, you can get fired up, or let's think about this. What if Clay didn't live here? That toaster would always be right where it's supposed to be, and so would the coffee pot, and no Clay. Which do you prefer? That did it for me. Never said another word to him. In fact, I even kind of liked it. The toaster out told me Clay's here. And I just love Clay. He's just fantastic. He's a wonderful, wonderful man of God. Loves God. Has probably more fear of the Lord, the true fear of the Lord, than anyone I've ever met in my life. The man honors God. He's a good man. And so when I thought about that, I thought, dear Lord, Brad, shut the heck up. You're stepping all over a beautiful thing, man. This beautiful friendship you have with this guy. And so literally from that day on, that toaster and that coffee pot was a reminder of a blessing that I have in my life, in my circle of life. I have this beautiful friend, And so it was just perspective. And that's what I mean by it's not what it is. No, that's real. He's pulling the toaster out. Crumbs get all over the counter. Like, yeah, I got to put the cord back. This is a real deal. Don't give me all that fluff. It's not what it is. It's how you see it. No, I'm telling you, it really is not what it is. It's how you see it. Well, I just got diagnosed with cancer and they gave me 3 months to live. Now what do you say about that, fancy pants? It's not what it is, it's how you see it. Well, again, it's not what it is. It's how you see it. Are you seeing this as, this is the end, it's over, my life is over? You know, and on we could go in that dark thinking. Or do you have a, this is where I want to leave it with, this is the most powerful way to see everything, is in the light of eternity. Yeah. Your life is about to end. Can I remind you that it was going to end at all points in your life was going to end at some point, and everybody's life is going to end at some point. So this is a little bit of a surprise. It's going to end sooner than you thought it was going to. You know what that means? That means you get to be with Jesus sooner than you thought you were going to be with Jesus. You're literally about to enter in to heaven, eternity with God. I mean, you're getting promoted sooner than you realized. I mean, this is real. Jesus says in Colossians 3, 2, do not set your mind on things on the earth, but set them on things above, where Christ is. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul said, now get this. Paul says, rejoice always. Always. Now, that's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he wrote it. The Holy Spirit was not aware. Do you think he was not aware that there would be things like terminal illness, death of loved ones, broken marriages? Do you think he was not aware of that? Yet the Holy Spirit said, rejoice, through Paul, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say to you, in case you didn't get it the first time, rejoice. Right? That's Philippians chapter 4, I think verse 4. Rejoice always. Now get this. When Paul wrote that, he was in prison with a death sentence looking him in the face. And he says, rejoice always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. When I've got a situation right in my face, this guy says, you're an idiot, the Lord is at hand. And he's saying, Brad, choose thankfulness. Remind yourself of what I've done for you. That's all you need. It's more than enough to be grateful to this person. Remember this, Brad, I died for them too. Please show them me, not your flesh. Show them the me that's on the inside of you. Be gentle with all, because the Lord is at hand, right? And be anxious. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. This is the fruit. And then he goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are lovely, well, he starts off, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, whatever things are noble. He says, meditate on these things. That anything with virtue, anything that's praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's a mindset, right? If it's true, lovely, you say, what is true? He did call me an idiot. Okay, well, it has to fit all the criteria. Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it praiseworthy? Does it have virtue? No, so it doesn't meet any of those criteria, so throw it out. All right? If you meditate on that which is good, true, lovely, holy at all times, you will have the peace of God which will control your heart and mind. It'll keep you in Christ. Well, I didn't get to the five things that I was going to tell you I was going to get to. So let me just do this. I'm going to tell you what the five things are, and then we'll leave it at that. I mean, at least you'll know what they are, and I just won't teach on each one of them. I've kind of covered a lot of it. But here are the benefits to being grateful. Having a thankful heart at all times. Number one, it draws out the joy that is already present within us. Joy is inside of you. You may not realize that it's there, and the reason you don't realize it is because you have not been thankful which is the bucket that goes into the well and draws out the joy. Thankfulness draws out the joy that's on the inside of you. Try it. If you find yourself down, ask yourself, what am I thinking about? Because you'll realize you're thinking negative thoughts. I had Peter on this side and I called him the murmurer. I could have said negative. He's neggy. Well, as a guy, so negative Neil. And then we have positive. That doesn't work with Kate, but positive Polly. That could have been positive and negative. It's negative thinking and positive thinking. But positive thinking is the key that opens the door to joy. The next thing is, the other benefit to being grateful is that it improves our personal relationships tremendously. You know, one of the major issues that need to be avoided in a relationship when we're with someone for a long time is the natural tendency is to go towards taking them for granted and not appreciating them as much as you did in the beginning, right? It's the natural path. When I say natural, I'm talking about natural to this world. If you put no energy into it, the natural path will be you will appreciate your spouse or your loved one less, and you will take them for granted. And so, you know, the first year when you're married and someone's sick, you say, oh, honey, I'm going to take you to the hospital, and I'm going to get you the best doctor, and let's go. We got to go now. I'm going to get you there, you know. The next year, it's like, you know, honey, I'll call a doctor if you're sick. Maybe he'll come over. You know, we'll see if he'll come over and take care of you. And the third year, it's like, hey, listen, if you could at least, could you finish the dishes first, and then maybe we can, I'll call the doctor if he can come over. Or the next year, it's like, would you stop grumbling? And besides that, wash your hands more often. I don't want to get sick, you know. You know, we just kind of go down this natural path of not appreciating them or taking them for granted. When the reality is, there is a God on the inside of us who's totally in love with this person. If we will operate in thankfulness towards them at all times, how do you do that? Just a perspective. Remember who they are for you, who they are to you. In fact, go the next step and just say to them, husbands, when you come home one day, bring some flowers and tell them how much you appreciate all that they do for you in your life. And think it through. Think about a couple things you can say specifically that they do that really does bless you, and tell them. Now, I encourage you to be really close to them when you say this so that you can catch them on their way to the floor. All right, just. And wives, same thing. Take a moment regularly to tell your husband how much you appreciate some of the things that he does and name those things that he does for you that blesses you. This is an energy we put into our relationships, a proactive energy of being Christ-like in that relationship. Watch what it does for your personal relationship. So it improves our personal relationship. Children, same thing. You know, thanking your parents for all the things they buy for you, the money they spend on you, the protection they provide for you. Don't just be grumblers and complainers, but be grateful, be thankful. Third thing, it improves our physical, emotional, and psychological health. Now, there are scriptures, Proverbs 4, 20, 23, Isaiah 26, 3, that one in particular says, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When you keep your mind on God, he will keep you in perfect peace. I just thought of another situation. I can't tell because I don't know how many times. There's a situation I got into that was outrageous. Heart ripping my heart out of my chest type situation. And I knew that scripture. I started meditating on that scripture. And I said, Lord, I'm going to keep my mind on you. I'm not even going to think about this situation. Lord, that you would keep me in perfect peace. And I started meditating on God and thinking about God. It was awesome. 5 minutes into really drilling down on the word and who God is, what he means to me, just flooding my mind with who God is. I came right up out of that with outrageous joy and peace. I mean, it was supernatural. But we can stay there. We can stay in this place. So anyhow, next one, four. Number four is joy is, now thankfulness, a benefit of thankfulness. Thankfulness leads us into joy. Joy is the predominant element and thus the indicator of faith. Joy is the predominant element. Let me say it this way, in case you're not clear about why that's the case. If you are not in joy in a situation, you are also not in faith. You cannot be. It's impossible to have faith, true faith, about a situation and not have joy. I'm sure if you think about the times when you know you were in faith, there was joy with that faith. Joy is the cousin that will lead you to faith. Remember this line? So thankfulness, a benefit of thankfulness, is that it leads you into joy. Joy is an element necessary. It's an ingredient. It's like making a cake. It's the flour of the cake of faith. You've got to have it. It will take you into faith. Number five is that a benefit of being thankful is that it is pleasing to the Lord. It is well pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to leave you with that. So on this Thanksgiving Day, when that brother or sister or that mother-in-law or father-in-law or somebody says that one thing to you that triggers you, just say, you know what, I have a choice here, and I'm going to be thankful. I choose to be thankful. Be thinking about things in your life that you have. If nothing else, just remember, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. If God is for me, who can be against me? Right? And just say, you know what? I'm really sorry that I've upset you with that. I really am. I mean, you know what that is? That's humility. And you know what comes with humility? God resists the what? The proud. The proud would say, how dare you, right? Because it's me. It's all about me. I. You just hurt me. That's pride. Proud. A proud person will say, you know, what? Fire back at them. A humble person says, I'm really sorry. Obviously, I've offended you. I'm really sorry. Or whatever you want to say. Kind. Be humble. God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace. Remember, it's all tied to it. Gives grace to the humble. Being a thankful person is also being a humble person. And thankfulness brings grace into your situation at all times. All right. I hope you got that. I was trying to do three sermons in one, and it makes it a little bit difficult. So I hope you got that.